Well, as many of you know, I left for Haiti the last time I was here, Thursday the 2nd. I was on a flight out of LAX that evening, and it was powerful. It was powerful. And I had forgotten about the last trip. You know, I have mold allergies, as some of you may be and may not be aware of, but in Haiti, it's very tropical. There's lots of rain, lots of, you know. And last time I was there, I never completely, according to my wife, I never completely recovered from my first trip. And then I went over and got hit. The Lord, you know, just rolled through it as we were there with the ministry that we were doing. I mean, God was just moving it. And he gave me the energy I needed and everything. But boy, when it was, it's interesting. The enemy comes in when we don't expect it. He comes to rob and steal and to destroy our joy. You know, the joy of the ministry that I was blessed to be a part of. And that's his attempt, because I have the joy. I'm just a little wrung out right now. I feel like I've done a few rounds with somebody much bigger than me. As you may know, and Cross to Light is a Bible training facility there in the capital city. We were given permission to go out and evangelize the city. And that was, in itself, was absolutely amazing. Excuse me. But, eating beans and rice for a week and a few ounces of tuna to provide some protein and a protein bar, the way I burn energy, it's a great dietary program. I'm down to 175 now, which is pretty ridiculous. I haven't been this light since I was fresh out of high school. But God will fatten me up again. But what I'd like to share with you, and what I saw there, and what we know, is the faithfulness of God and the faithfulness of his word, and the fact that, you know, in Haiti, there's been, there was a movement. There's a lot of, you know, Christian churches that went in initially. But the problem is that they're not all proclaiming the gospel. And, you know, we see what in the book of Galatians, and if you would turn with me to Galatians. it's the area of Galatia, not the book of Galatia, though that's who Paul is addressing here. And this is going to be, and you can breathe a sigh of relief that this will be a fairly quick study, because having to sit through me in this condition, I don't envy any of you. As we know, Paul, when he was addressing the churches in Galatia, this was the first time that Paul actually addressed an entire region, wasn't it? His books, his epistles, are always to a church. They're always specifically to a church. Well, Galatia is a rather large area. I didn't know if I'm like, Paul, you're not reading. I'm not reading. Okay. But the Galatia was an area that was made up of Celts, of Celtic people, who originally lived in Gaul, and they had moved to to Asia Minor because at that time, that was the center of commerce. I mean, Israel, you know, all the wealth of the world. I mean, basically Europe, they were a bunch of, they're all, worshiping Stonehenge. Dude, rock, groovy. That's where the original rock band came from, was Stonehenge. For those of you who saw that movie, I won't go there, but it is rather funny. Anyway, but they had turned when Paul left, because Paul went and planted these churches in Galatia, and then he moved on, and he planted leadership in those areas. But unfortunately, Judaizers came in, as they will do, whether they're Judaizers or, you got Pharisaical people that are coming in with works doctrines and trying to, they're just trying to puff themselves up. And that's what was going on in Galatia. And Paul is brokenhearted. And as he reads to them, his greeting to them, he says, it reads, Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brethren who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now we know this present evil age has never gone away, has it? We live in a fallen world, but we walk in God's grace. We walk by the Spirit of God, by the blessing of God, the protection of God, knowing regardless of what the enemy throws at us, that God, the creator of all things, not just our God, though he is our God, but he is God. I always, want to make sure that I get that point across in prison. Bless you. How many? Sorry. There's still a little comedy Tourette's left in me. Well, okay, you're going for the big blessing this morning. If I sneeze back, don't take it personally. Oh, boy. Please be patient with me, because my brain, I'm on a point, and right now I'm just wrung out. I literally have spent, since I got home on Saturday night, at 10 o'clock, I've been in bed ever since I got home, because I've been too wiped out to do anything. I haven't even been able to play guitar, which for any of you that know me, know that's really crazy. But it's really given me an appreciation for the work that God is doing. And here, we're looking, and Paul is trying to speak to them about this. And in verse 6, he says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. It is so easy for us, dear ones, to get caught in not wanting to offend somebody. But the thing is, if we are speaking to them in love, we don't speak to them haughty, but speak to them from the word, not self-righteous, not talking down to them. Always, you know, I try to remember, you never speak down to somebody, you speak up to them. You speak up to them. Because the hypocrisy is just like what the churches in Galatia went through. What they were experiencing, these works doctrine, and Paul is so heartbroken. How could you have turned? How could you have turned from the gospel? How could you have turned so quickly from the gospel? Verse 11, but I make known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man. For I neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul did not sit at the feet of the apostles. He did not get this revelation at the feet of Gamaliel, who was one of the greatest Jewish teachers and who Paul sat under. I mean, this young man was brilliant. He sat at the feet of the greatest teacher in Israel. That's believed to be the point. I mean, I've heard that. I shouldn't quote it because I wasn't there. But my understanding that Gamaliel was certainly, right now I may look like I was, but but Paul did not receive this from man. He received it from the Spirit of God on the road to Damascus. As he was going out in what he thought was the right thing to do. Paul was a very, you know, dedicated man. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he didn't take this lightly at all. I don't think that Paul in his being was like he didn't start out as a murderer, if you will. But I believe that he believed that it was such heresy and it was destroying the teaching of the Old Testament and the prophets. And that lit him up. And Gamaliel, who was his teacher, was one of the first very well-known teachers to go off and encourage his students and his followers to go after this group called the Way. So Paul, you know, we see a lot of religious people in the world that are misled, don't we? In fact, I might venture to say that most religious people are misled. In fact, well, we'll leave that alone. But you know, you look at the doctrines of self-righteousness and the doctrines of works. Now in Haiti, what we saw, now you're seeing here, and Paul, you know, is writing to them about what has happened. Now in Haiti, the same type of thing has gone on. There's all kinds of cultic churches going on there. It's absolutely amazing how much cultic activity there is. We were driving around the city. Now imagine this. We had a live band playing through a generator in the back of a bobtail truck with the sides cut out. Live band driving through traffic. I mean, I just say, okay, Lord. I got thrown into the drum set at least 5 times. It was awesome, though, to go out and see. For any of you who are friends of mine on Facebook, you can go see, there's some stuff I put up there that you can see some little bits and pieces up there. One of them is a clip. I mean, when we're driving around with the band playing live and the whole team flying around the back of the truck and handing out tracts and proclaiming the gospel and preaching and singing, and it was awesome. But it was so surreal. It was so surreal to see children chasing us down a dirt road to come and get tracts from us, to go through town, go through the city streets of the town of Porto. I mean, in the metropolitan area in traffic. I mean, it's crazy. It was absolutely crazy, but that's what God was doing, and God really used it. We need to be available for whatever it is that God puts before us to do. To my shame, I got a little upset on Friday night because we went out. Well, Thursday night we went out all over the city, got back just in time before a torrential rainstorm hit. Friday, we went back out and got stuck about 15 miles away from the Bible Training Center as the cloudburst broke. Now, you've seen all my equipment. It got soaked. My gear was just wiped out, and I didn't know what was going to happen. And it just, you know, I was trusting the Lord, but at the same time, I had so much stress over it because I can't afford to replace that stuff. And they certainly don't have the money in Haiti to replace it. And, that was me sticking my neck out to go do that. I can't expect, you know. But here's something that won't surprise any of you. We've been praying for my gear, right? Since I've been home, piece by piece, it slowly started coming back. That doesn't happen with electronics and digital equipment that's been soaked. That's unheard of. Try hosing down your computer and see how well it works. You know? Just absolutely amazing. And as a result, I didn't sleep very well. Whoops. Sorry, Michael. I didn't sleep real well that night, Friday night. Woke up, I slept like 3 hours because we were trying to dry everything up, and I woke up at 2 and couldn't sleep. So I stayed up all the way till I got home. And my stomach was so upset, I couldn't eat. So I didn't eat the whole trip home. I didn't eat before I left, and I got just nailed. But the Lord is restoring me now. You know, and that's why I apologize that you had to witness some of the stuff I was going through. I don't have a fever. I don't, you know, I'm not here risking making anybody sick. I'm just so wrung out and stressed out that my body, I was in so much pain walking through the airport. It was unreal carrying all my gear because I carried, for those of you who see me walk out here with my gig bag and all this stuff, that stuff I carried through the airport. I missed my flight. They booked my flight. Now, this I could never figure out. They booked my flight, my transition flight from Miami to the flight going out to LAX. They booked it an hour and a half apart from when I landed. And I had to go through customs. I had to pick up all my musical equipment and go through customs and then walk to the opposite end of the terminal. So I missed that flight. So that was another 6 hours. And I pray I'm not, you know, this is not a pity me party at all. Because through all that, you know, I got to minister to some people. different things happen. You know, you don't know. God's timing is perfect, isn't it? You know, when we think we're so inconvenienced, it's because God's working. Excuse me, kid, but I got something for you to do. And it's not about you. It's not about your schedule. But this is what we're seeing in Haiti. And please remember to pray for Cross to Light. It is a powerful work. They're planting churches all over Haiti. I mean, it is awesome. Teaching them verse by verse, just as we do. It's a Calvary plant. Brian McDaniels, who many of you know, Brian, my crazy brother. And please remember to pray for them. Pray for the movement of God's Spirit in Haiti. God is moving. And you know, when we get to partner with ministry like that and we're praying for that ministry, we're a part of that ministry, aren't we? We often forget how powerful prayer is. We often forget. The weapons of warfare that God has given us are spiritual in the high places. I want to leave you with this and just, you know, the satisfaction, the blessing of knowing how many missions and missionaries and works of the Spirit this church is involved in. You don't get to see it all. But boy, you come here on Mission Sunday. Amen? This is a sending church. And I'm blessed to be one of those that they send. Or I should say, I'm blessed to be one of those that is sent. Today we're going to cut it a little short, quite a bit short, compared to Johnny. I want to make sure I don't fall over while I'm speaking to you guys. That could be more traumatic for you than it is for me, I think. I got really bold 2 days ago. Just for a moment, I was unloading stuff. I put air in the tires of my bicycle. And I rode my bicycle about 50 feet and thought, this is really stupid. Because I'm like, Definitely won't be surfing in this condition. I haven't surfed in years anyway. I don't have time for it. I got 2 great surfboards, live a mile from the ocean, and don't have time to surf. God's got more important things for us, doesn't he? A lot more important things. The ministry is coming up, as I think, have I told you about what's going on, that I'm blessed to be interacting with Hope Central Watts Calvary Chapel. Did I talk about that at all? Well, I did an outreach with them, Jose Hernandez, about a month ago. Going to be doing another one with him coming up here and going in and reaching into their end of the projects. I mean, the projects in Watts. And it's awesome to see what God is doing. Absolutely amazing. Because, you know, those people don't understand, I think I've told you so often, I want to stand up, but I'm afraid it won't work. Wow. I just had a brain freeze. I think one of the tubes blew out of my brain. To see, when I was involved in inner city ministry and seeing the hypocrisy and seeing so many of the guys that I am ministering to in maximum security come out of that area, there in Watts, Compton, you know, that area. And I understand why, from ministering to them and being able to disciple them and mentor them in the Word and exhort them in the fact that God does love them, that they can be forgiven, that it's not based on your works. There's nothing you can do except for receive the free gift. Amen? And what? Repent. I mean, that's really repent of your sins and you know, cry out to the Lord. And to be able to take that joy into the inner city. Now, to go back in, it's been 20-some years for me since I've been in the inner city with any regularity. Before, when I went in, I was a long-haired blonde rocker who really didn't fit. But I had a heart for it, but I really didn't fit. Now I'm going in as a chaplain, somebody who's ministering to their family members. And they're really touched by that. And their hearts are open. So please pray for me as I go out, as I'm ministering to these people, as we are as a team, as Jose is. I mean, it's awesome what God's doing through Hope Central, Watts Calvary Chapel. We're going to do their Thanksgiving. They're having a Thanksgiving outreach on, I hope I get the date right. November 22nd. Yeah, November 22nd. Because Thanksgiving is the 28th, isn't it? You don't know? I expected you'd pull out a turkey leg. I'm an array of the eighth. I am an array of the eighth. Okay, sorry about that. But God is moving, and to see what he is doing as he's moving into the inner city and healing and bringing restoration and joy. And as men and as children are seeing that love and making decisions not to follow in the path of destruction, it is awesome. So please continue to pray. Continue to pray for Cross to Light, for the missionaries here, and let's lift up Johnny, okay? Gracious Heavenly Father, we lift up our pastor, John Henry. And God, we ask that you would touch, that you would touch him now, Lord, that you would restore him. Because, Lord, we know nothing is too difficult for you, Father. We know that you are the great physician. And so be with him now. I pray your peace would just fall upon him, that he would rest, that any stress that he's feeling because he can't be here, just take that away from him, Lord God. Let him be blessed. Bless Hillary, the boys, God. And Lord, bring him back to us next week, Father. And Father, I too selfishly pray that you would touch this old fool. Restore my body, Father. Bless my brothers and sisters, and as you have imparted, as you've spoken through your word, God, I pray that it touch the hearts of all those drawn here. And Lord, we give thanks that you alone are worthy of all honor and all glory. We ask these things now in Jesus' precious name.